listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 in studio, Eddie Robinson. I just want to remind you, this year, the Dynamo are going to be in a place that you're going to find them. Cube 57, pregame show 7 o'clock on Saturday, Dynamo Seattle. But they're going to have a new home now on the Cube. 25 games, and the Dynamo are going to be in a place you're going to find them. You're not going to have to seek out like a secondary channel or something. So it's going to be a lot of fun. As always, Eddie Robinson and I on the call, and we're going to have a new person. Cindy Bourbano is going to be our sideline reporter. She's bilingual. She's going to be able to get great stuff out of all the Spanish-speaking players on the Houston Dynamo. So it's Cube 57. They've also we've also got a Dynamo-Zone show, half-hour magazine show on Friday nights at 10 p.m. All right, I'm going to very quickly here get us into caught up with DeMarcus Beasley yesterday. Here's my interview with DeMarcus. Coming up. Very shortly. Joining us now, ESPN 97.5. Dynamo left back four times. He's gone to the World Cup. He's DeMarcus Beasley. DeMarcus, thank you very much.
Ah, no problem. Good to see you, Glenn.
Yeah, good to see you, too. We're glad you're back in Houston. It was good news to Dynamo fans seeing you re-sign during preseason. Tell us a little bit about the different faces and the different quality of players you're seeing here this year.
Yeah, it's a lot of new faces, you know. It's almost a brand new team, you know. It's exciting. You know, we got younger. I think that's a very good thing. You know, a lot of players for the future, but that can contribute now. You know, not just guys that are going to maybe wait a year or two. You know, we got guys that are young that's going to contribute now. So, you know, we're excited about, you know, their future, and hopefully they can make a big impact this year.
You said something that I thought was very honest and very refreshing as a veteran last year, that, look, every line of this team needed to improve, and you held yourself accountable and all that. Looking at this on paper, what you've gone through in preseason, has it improved?
Yeah, it has. I think so, you know. Obviously, there's always things you can improve on, but, you know, just on, like you said, just on paper, yeah, it has improved. You know, we got a guy right back, AJ has, you know, a lot of experience, you know, defends well one-on-one. Leo in the middle, he does very well. He's very organized, and he's strong. He's quick, and, you know, he knows the league, you know, so those two guys were big assets, you know, to our team. You know, obviously coming from the Galaxy, they have that winning mentality. And I think that's another thing that we're missing, you know, from last season. You know, I think when we won a couple games, you know, everybody got a little bit, you know, too excited. And, you know, they we lost one and they forgot how to win again. You know, we should always have that mentality, you know, going into every game that we can win and that we can be successful. And I think, you know, obviously having those two guys and our back line is going to make us, you know, even a better team than we were last season. Well, you know, I hope it's not getting worse, but it's going to make us a better team last season with those two additions, you know, because they're coming from a club that's known for winning, and, you know, they were a big part of that. So hopefully they can help us, you know, from the first game in March.
DeMarcus Beasley joining us here on ESPN 97.5. You've got a storied career. You played in all these different countries, different playing styles. From last year to this year, when you're at training, do you feel that competitiveness with the likes of De La Garza, who's won cups, with Machado, who's won cups in Costa Rica, and these types of guys? Can you feel it, and does it push you more?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, you always want, you know, that's the whole beauty of it. That's the whole beauty of football, is that you want to compete. You know, everything is competing. You know, even though you're in training, but you're competing for your job. We're all teammates, but at the same time, you want to, you know, put food on your table. And that's, and playing on the field, being in the first team, that's going to, you know, help that part of your life, you know. So everyone wants to play, but, you know, everyone doesn't want to put in the work. But now that we have guys that have done it and been through it and have that mentality of, you know, coming in day in and day out and pushing everybody in training, you know, it's great, you know. Even the young guys came in, you know, they've been successful from the different clubs they've been playing at. So all that's going to help, you know, the mentality of the group, you know, obviously the football of the group, you know, how we play, you know, obviously with the coaching staff, how he wants us to play. So it's all, you know, but it's not, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, not comparing us to Rome at all, but I'm just saying, you know, hey, stop.
Somebody's stealing DeMarcus's food.
Somebody's eating my chips. No, but, you know, so it's going to take time, you know. I mean, like, for me, I've only been here 2 weeks, you know, so it's going to take time to me to get to know everyone, you know, and the team as well. So, but we're excited, you know. We're going to, you know, put forth our head, you know, March 4th, and hopefully we get started on the right foot.
All right, you've had a lot of great managers in your career. Tell me a little bit about this manager, Wilmer Cabrera, and kind of what's he like? Is he autocratic, democratic? How does he work with people?
Yeah, he's good with people. You know, he makes jokes when he needs to, you know, but, you know, when training starts, you know, he's very serious. You know, he's very demanding, you know. He'll come up to you and tell you exactly what he wants. If you're not doing what he wants, he'll tell you, you know, right in the field, right in front of people. And, you know, I think that's great. You know, that's what we need. We need, you know, someone that's going to, you know, be that way with the players, you know. But at the same time, his door is always open. You know, he's a nice man. Yeah, you can tell he knows his football. I mean, he's been to World Cups and he's played at the highest level with Colombia, so he knows what he's doing. And, you know, I think, you know, with this year and how he wants us to play, and the team that he's put together, I think it's going to fit his style of coaching, and it's going to fit, you know, how we play on the field.
All right, we all know the wide game has kind of been absent with the Dynamo over the last couple of years as far as having real penetrators. Obviously, you are a penetrator from a deeper position, but now you've got guys like Elise and Kyoto. I think it's got to be pretty exciting for you.
It is. You know, I mean, I finally got to see them, you know, kind of, you know, stretch their legs in the games, you know. In training, I was only there a couple of days, and we left to go to Arizona, so I didn't really get to see them train, and I didn't get to train with them. But yeah, when we got to Arizona, it was they're electric. They are electric, you know. They're quick, they're fast, strong. They're gonna you know, give teams a handful, and that's what we want. You know, we want you know, them to, you know, cause problems, you know, up top. And, you know, the fact that we still have Andrew, we still have Vicente, you know, we have, you know, Jose Escalante that could come in and play those positions. And, you know, so the competitiveness is what I'm talking about is there. You know, we got guys that are going to come in and push them, you know, whoever plays those positions, whoever the coach decides is going to play that week. Everyone's got to be ready. And the fact that we have six good players in those positions is going to make everyone better.
Okay, one or two more questions. We'll let you go because I know your lunch is waiting over there and there's a bunch of vultures over there trying to get at it. 4-3-3. It's obviously a system that can be very beneficial. It's also a system that you have to do some basics in order for it to work. Your ball possession has to be good, your team shape when you lose the ball. Talk a little bit about it and how you guys have been adapting to it.
Yeah, you know, with 4-3-3, you know, you have to play that way with wingers. If you don't play with wingers, then it's not really a 4-3-3. You know, it's maybe a 4-2-3-1, you know, something like that. It's a version of 4-3-3, but it's not 4-3-3. This year, we have wingers. We actually have wingers that's going to stand on the touchline, come inside, play, go at you one-on-one, and that's what they love, you know. And the same with the group that we have coming in, you know, whoever's going to play, you know, Vicente, Andrew, you know, Romel, all of them, they all can do that. We all can do that. So that's a big plus, you know, playing in that way. But yeah, you definitely need to, you know, be organized, you know, because I mean, I played that when I was in Holland, you know, that way, and you know, everybody knows exactly where it is, you know, everywhere where it's supposed to be, you know, it's like a puzzle piece, you know. And obviously, the Dutch are, you know, they're the best at doing 4-3-3 because they've been doing it for years, you know, and it, all the teams throughout the whole league play that system, you know. So it's going to take time, you know. We do a lot of you know, stuff to work on ball possession and make sure everyone's in the right place at the right time. And yeah, it's gonna get better as the year goes by. But as you see, you know, we're gonna definitely, you know, I don't know if we're gonna start that way, but we'll see. If it is a 4-3-3, we'll definitely be our two wingers, and they're gonna be fast, going at them, and exciting.
How important was that experience for you in Holland as a young player?
Oh, it was great. You know, I mean, going into, you know, coming from Chicago, and you know, I had a great coach in Bob, you know, and playing with Stoichkov and Peter Novak and, you know, Lubos Kubik and all the American internationals.
Eastern
Bloc.
That was the greatest name in MLS history.
Exactly.
Yeah. Eastern Bloc.
It was a great, great moment for me. A great for a young player to step into that, you know, and obviously with all the American internationals, you know, Chris Armas, CJ Brown, Ante Razov, Joshua. I mean, I can go on and on about the team that we had.
Lots of names.
Great names, great players. But then going to Holland and, you know, continuing, you know, my development. And, you know, then I got to learn from the likes of Philip Cocu and Mark Mbamo and, you know, being in that situation and you know, learning how you play football and learning, you know, just, you know, living, being a professional, you know, it was great, you know. I had a, you know, obviously I had a great time in Holland, and it's memories that I'll never forget.
Let this man get his lunch. DeMarcus Beasley, thank you for joining us on ESPN 97.5.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
Best of luck against Seattle.
Cool.
Well, you think of his career. He's played in so many different places. You know, the one thing that's always stood out to me, Eddie, about him is he told me he went to Puebla in Mexico because he wanted to experience that type of playing style. So what'd you take out of that interview with DeMarcus Beasley?
You mentioned it to me. Just there's some sort of excitement in his voice that we haven't heard. You said that, and I started thinking about it, and I'm like, God, you're right. He seems energized. He seems happy. He seems excited to get the season started. Where middle of the season, towards the end of the season last year, he was a little more monotone and, you know, maybe
labored. Just
kind of, yeah. Labored. Yeah, a lot of cliches. And he really seemed interested in providing good answers to your questions with energy and excitement. And I think that's a good omen for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I also think that he sees, and that's why I asked him in the interview, Elise and Kyoto are going to be in front of him. But remember at the end of last year, DeMarcus Beasley, and I love this, it was so refreshing, just came out and said, look, every line of this team has to be improved. I mean, yeah. He just basically said, look, without saying it, the quality is not good enough here.
Yeah, and I can guarantee you he was... He'd be the first to tell you that he made some mistakes in different games, and that
I think he said it with him accountable in the whole thing.
Of course, and that's what a leader and that's what a captain should be, able to hold his teammates accountable, but never afraid to hold himself accountable to the press, to the media, to us, to the fans, to his teammates. Leading by example, not just on the field, but off the field. And I think that's why his teammates respect him and look up to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Right now, Arabe Unido, on goal, FC Dallas has got a larger aggregate lead right now. So they're in a good place right now. So here's what we got. We got Friday, I believe it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Portland and Minnesota. Mm. So you got Minnesota coming into the league. Then on Saturday, obviously we have our game. But you got Columbus, Chicago. You got LA, FC Dallas, Real Salt Lake, Toronto, Colorado, New England, DC United, Sporting Kansas City. We got our game, Houston and Seattle at BBVA Compass Stadium on Cube 57. San Jose, Montreal, Orlando, and New York City FC will be on Sunday. And again, there's that triple header Sunday. I love that. I mean, I have a hard time. Orlando and New York City FC, Atlanta and New York Red Bulls, we get to see that with Tata Martino taking over and then Vancouver, Philadelphia. That is so awesome, that triple header Sunday.
I think it's brilliant. But, I mean, one thing that we also have to remember as soccer junkies is there will be Bundesliga. There will be Premier League. Oh. There will be La Liga. We're going to have a
you
full
and me are, our prep. Full our prep for our game day. Is watching Arsenal and Liverpool this weekend.
Oh, God.
I'm going to predict this. Manchester United is going to be in fourth place by the end of the weekend.
You know, they've been in fifth or sixth all season.
They're going to be in fourth place.
That's fine. But you know what wouldn't surprise me is if Liverpool pulled an MLS and after losing and getting smashed by Leicester, comes back and beats Arsenal by 2-3.
I don't know, man. They did not
do enough. I
don't think
it's going to happen, but I mean.
They did not do enough in the offseason. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More from Eddie Robinson in studio. We appreciate Eddie coming in tonight. Always a good time when he's here. We actually get along, by the way. So we'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Break, and we'll be back. More to come.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We continue to roll on here. Again, a couple of things I want to mention to you. First off, Liberty Kitchen, one of the great spots to go get your foodie on. If you're passionate about food, head over to Liberty Kitchen. They serve it up lunch, supper, and brunch. Modern American comfort food. Classics taken up several notches. Burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, spaghetti chowder. Farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen will stamp its claim on. They own it. It's big flavor served at a neighborhood social. All their spots are different and very unique, too, by the way, which is really cool. The Garden Oaks location is a really cool spot. Brian Ching and I were over there one time, Eddie. We should have called you. Great little spot. It's right across from a VFW place, which is really cool. It's got like a plane in the front yard. It's very unique. Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Great cocktails, cold beer. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for me. King's Court. It's at 903 Hutchins in Edo, corner of Walker and Hutchins, 13 TVs. The place to go before and after Dynamo games. El Bateon, that's their home. Actually, they've got a couple of good bands down there. I was talking to Manny from El Bateon. They got bands pre and post game down there this weekend for the opener with Seattle. So we're going to head over there, Eddie, after. So join Eddie and I at King's Court, 903 Hutchins. Again, 24 taps, full beer. They got an incredible patio up top that looks out on BBVA Compass Stadium. It's a real soccer pub feel. It's the thing I like about it. And Jay's down there. Say hello to Jay. I like that it feels more like a soccer place.
It's great when it comes to soccer, but the Indian food is authentic. Yeah. He said it. There is grandmother's recipes. If you like Indian food, you won't just like this place. You'll love this place.
And they have regular pub food, too. So if you don't like Indian, you can't handle the spice. They've got other stuff. All right, so Eddie, I'm gonna roll Wilmer Cabrera. This is a pretty short interview, so we'll get Wilmer Cabrera on here. Now, this is pretty interesting. There's some verbiage that he uses in here that I think fans are going to find very interesting. All right, here's catching up with Wilmer Cabrera. We'll get your thoughts after this.
Let's do it.
All right, Houston Dynamo manager Wilmer Cabrera joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Wilmer, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so here we are. It looks to have been a very successful preseason. Did you hit all the criterias and elements you wanted with a roster that really has turned over with a lot of new players?
It's been positive, but we're not comfortable right now. We know that this is just preseason, and we have 34 games in front of us, so we just have to be cautious about everything. And we need to understand that this is a long process. We're happy that it started off well with the preseason, but we are totally responsible about what is coming in front of us, which is really tough.
Fan bases have very differing personalities. Obviously, I think with the signing of some of the attractive, entertaining players you've signed, Kyoto, Elise, I think fans are excited and maybe going too far too fast about what the possibilities are, and they certainly are all excited. Do you have to make sure you keep the players sort of grounded to exactly what you want mentally from them day in and day out?
Yes, definitely. That's really important to be sure that they're not paying too much attention to comments and issues that can take them out of the context. For sure, they're professionals, they're mature, but it is important to be sure that the message in the locker room is clear, and we keep the composure in all aspects, because the reality is we haven't done anything yet.
Wilmer Cabrera joining us here on ESPN 97.5, the opening game against the Seattle Sounders in 3 days on Saturday. It's a nice roster you've assembled here, Wilmer, and it's got a lot of differing components and differing individuals. How did you go about putting this together? I mean, because I know it's not easy acquiring players. I know it's a challenge with the salary cap. How did you do it?
It was a lot of work off season. It was a lot of work from the moment I received the team and I received the support to be the head coach. I started to work with the president, with the ownership group, and especially with Matt Jordan as a general manager, who we were traveling and we were working with the staff. They spent a lot of days in November, December, a lot of hours working, watching games, watching players, scouting players, calling people, and then traveling. We have to travel a lot, but it was necessary because we have plans. We have plans to organize the team. And from the moment that we started to make plans, you know, you have a plan A, plan B, and plan C. But it was positive because it all, with a lot of work and a little bit of, I would say, blessing or luckiness, we acquired the players that we wanted. And it's not easy, but we're excited, we're happy as a staff because we acquired the players that we wanted. Now, it's our responsibility to make them work as a team and to try to get the results, because at the end, it's what really matters. Get the results to be in contention for the playoffs.
You speak a lot about consistency, and sometimes players in Major League Soccer are sometimes criticized gently about potentially being, not as consistent as they should be, and they get too comfortable sometimes. I know this is a real theme of yours. Do you have to have a level of discomfort, not allowing people to get too settled in order for them to achieve consistency?
Yes, it is necessary. It is necessary. Even myself as a coach, when if I get too comfortable, I'm gonna get relaxed. And when you're relaxed, you get chances for other ones to beat you, because you're competing. It's not like you're on vacation. When you're on vacation, you have to relax. But we're not on vacation. We're working. We're competing. And our competition means someone is going to take my position. Someone is going to come after me. Someone wants to beat me. And we all want, we all want to win. So it is important to be sure that from in-house, from inside of the locker room, we have the competition. The guy besides me wants to take my position, wants to play instead me. So he's going to force me to keep myself at the high level because it's coming after me. He wants me. He wants my position. It doesn't mean that we want or we desire that he does not well, because that's not competition. Competition is to be better than your opponent, but when he is good, not when he is bad. But when your opponent or when your pair is doing bad or is injured, it's not a fair competition. So we want that fair competition, and we want the players to feel like they won a fair competition with their pairs because they were better, they were good, and they were working hard consistently.
I know you're Colombian, and Colombians also care about the way the game's played, the entertainment value of the game. And I know winning's important, but how important is entertainment to you and having a team that does entertain people that come to these games?
Well, of course, you want to win, entertain, and have fun doing that. But right now, we're a team that it's been in a lot of difficulties. We've been sick for a couple of years. So I told the players, I love to entertain, but if I'm sick, I need to get better and just go step by step. You don't go from being sick to be running a marathon. You go from being sick just to start walking outside and try to breathe a fresh air. That's the first step. So for us, the first step this year is to try to get consistency, a good balanced team where can bring positive results. Little by little, we're going to be able to, when we get that balance and that consistency, we're going to start to put in a little bit more flair into that consistency. But that cannot start with that flair. We need to start with the balance, with the consistency, and with the results. And right now, that's our focus.
Wilmer, best of luck against Seattle.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
So that was Wilmer Cabrera yesterday. And that interview brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. We got your tickets over there for the Dynamo Seattle. What'd you glean out of that, Eddie?
Well, I think my favorite part of that interview was his explanation of the competition for places. You look back, again, I like to compare current Dynamo teams to the former Dynamo teams that I played on. What made us so successful? Why did we win games? Because guys cared. They cared about being on the field. They cared about, hey, I'm better than the guy that also plays my position. I want to be out there and I want to prove it every day. But if that guy gets picked over me for a game, I'm not going to whine and cry about it. I'm going to go out the next week of training. I'm going to bust my tail. And I'm going to show the coach that, hey, wrong decision last week. I want back in the team. And to see that now, to hear that from him, because that hasn't been the case for quite some years in this Dynamo squad. Guys expected to start. Because they expected to start, they did start. Coaches didn't want to deal with the complaining, the conversations that would have to go along with leaving players out of the team. So I hope that should a player have a bad game, a bad 2 games, a bad 2 weeks of training, that Wilmer Cabrera has no problem replacing him in the starting 11. I think that's going to send a lot of messages to a lot of players in this squad. Just because I'm not in the starting 11 on this first Saturday against Seattle doesn't mean that I don't have a chance to make a difference.
I think you're spot on, and I like how serious he is. I like how defined he is. I like that I think once we see this lineup for this game, he's going to make some strong, bold decisions, and maybe one of them's not starting Mauro Manotas, but I think it's the right decision to start Kubo Torres. But I would just venture to say that if we're really being honest with assessing what's going on here the last couple of years, there have been players in this club that have been entitled, honestly, and in a bad way.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. And that's part of the reason I was.
You're not going to admit that, then you've got a real problem. But, and I don't mean you, I just mean as you self.
The organization.
You go introspective. Yeah. And it shows. And, you know, just to look at the character and hunger of this group of guys that have been assembled. And look, we haven't played a game yet, but the hunger, the types of guys that have been brought in have been, you know, they're guys that want to prove themselves. Like, look at all these guys. Machado's got to prove himself in a new league. He wants to, right? He's been successful. Mm-hmm. Elise, Kyoto want to prove themselves in this league to go on to bigger and better things one day. You know, in the back of their minds that one day they want to play in Europe. Okay.
Yeah,
this type of signing, it leads to just so much health in so many ways in the infrastructure of team chemistry, and how it affects others and competition.
Well, and guys like Andrew Wenger, Boniac Garcia, who everyone right now, including ourselves, might be leaving out of this conversation. Both of those guys, I think, will get a lot of minutes this year and be extremely vital to the success of this team.
Jalilani Baba played a lot last year.
It's crazy. If you look at it, let's say there's been maybe some speculation whether DeMarcus Beasley starts. If DeMarcus Beasley starts, and you and I go with what we've kind of considered as our starting lineup,
Why don't you mention what it is?
Okay.
Put it out there to
I'm
the
gonna
fans
go,
right
I'm
now.
I'm going to go Tyler Derrick.
Yep.
AJ De La Garza.
Yep.
Machado.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo.
Mm-hmm.
Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
Cabezas.
Mm-hmm.
Clark. Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Kyoto and Elise on the wings. And, you know, I really do think Eric Torres will start up front.
I agree.
So if that happens, right, there were 4 players in that team that were Dynamo last season. 4 of 11. So this is something people have asked me. What's key to this team this year? It's chemistry.
They're going to make mistakes in this opening game. There's no doubt. By the way, Dynamo Seattle this weekend. 713-780-3776. Do you think Kubo Torres should start over Mauro Manotas? I'm going to tell you why he should. Because he's in the most confident place he is right now. He's got his old manager back. He looks fit. He made a very interesting comment. He looks more mature and serious with the haircut. He seems more chiseled. He looks fit. He scored some preseason goals. And it's also a good message sent to Manotas, who got a lot of PR and a lot of publicity for the great things he did at the end of the year, scoring 6 goals in 8 games. 713-780-3776. Who would you start if I make you the manager? Kubo Torres or Mauro Manotas based on last year? That's what we put out to you.
That's a great question. And after training, you and I were both at training yesterday. After the players spent time with the press, I was walking up the tunnel with Ricardo Clark. And just happened to be in front of us was Eric Torres. And I asked Rico, I said, how's he doing? I said, obviously from us, looking from the outside in, he looks fitter, he looks sharper. And he said, he's taking it a lot more serious this year. He said, he's not quite there yet, but he's so much farther along than he was last year. So everyone said in the offseason, when Wilmer Cabrera was hired, maybe this is the reason he's being hired, so we can get what we expected to get out of Eric Torres.
But to be fair, I heard a lot of rumors that Dynamo were trying to unload Eric Kubo Torres. I mean, thus the loan deal at Cruz Azul. But this is the hope now that Wilmer, who he has played some of his best football under, understands him and can get the best out of him and unlock Pandora's box.
Well, the thing for Eric is, and I think that what a lot of people don't see is how good his movement is. It's so good that sometimes his teammates don't even realize it. He makes runs to get in behind, get free in the box, but his teammates don't see it. I think now that with this wide play, with the competition that's being created on those wing positions in that central midfield area, you want to win a spot in the team. Get some assist to Kubo, because you get him that ball in the box, as we've seen this preseason, now that he's confident, a little bit fitter, a little bit sharper, ball's going to be in the back of the net. Doesn't matter if it's pretty, doesn't matter what it looks like. The ball's going to be in the back of the net, and that's a goal, and that's something the Dynamo struggled with that last two-thirds of the season, was scoring goals. So if they get that on track, I think they're going to be great defensively, and I think that this should – Dynamo fans should be optimistic.
I think you hit the nail on the head. He's a genius at creating passing angles in tight areas. But here's the thing I love. He's a lot of one and two touch, and then guess where he goes? Ultimately where the ball's going to go, and that's the penalty area.
Yep.
And last year in that system, the poor guy is never in his indigenous area, which is the penalty area. So now, look, when he goes up against, and we're assuming he's starting, this is just our projection. If he goes up against Roman Torres and Chad Marshall, two giants of men, two physical guys, if Kyoto and Elise, and this is what they have to do to help whoever it is in that lone striker role, and again, we're assuming it's Kubo, they have got to beat guys out wide so that Roman Torres or Chad Marshall have to come out of the middle. Look, and if they do, Kubo will have a successful
game. For as big and as strong as they are, they're 30 and 32 respectively, they're not as quick as they used to be.
You have to move them. You have to move
them. He moves around, he's going to be successful.
You have to move them, and that's only going to happen with penetration out wide, and it's never happened. It is so exciting to see wingers that can run and fly now, take people on, create their own chances. This is a reason to go to the Dynamo Seattle this weekend. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Real quick here. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins and Ito. Be there. Pre and post game. I'm going to be there. Eddie's going to be there post game. We're going to have a good time down there. Celebrate a Dynamo win over Seattle. A lot of bands. El Bate on there. EPL soccer games on there. NFL Sunday Ticket. 13 TVs. Go see Jay. Kings Court. It is a real soccer pub down in Edo. Across from the stadium. It's going to be the place to be, so be there. Also, Red Army Bayou City Blues. There are two supporters groups here. Friday, June 16th. $135 a ticket. It is a dinner, raffle, and auction featuring Norman Whiteside, the former Manchester United star with Northern Ireland as well, Bobby Tamling of Chelsea, Facebook.com/Houston Red Army. Get the information. Facebook.com/Houston Red Army. It's all for pediatric cancer cures. All the funds are going to go towards research for that. We will take a break. We will come back. Time to visit with Will Bruin of the Seattle Sounders. Yes, I said Seattle, the former Dynamo.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 ahead of the Dynamo Seattle Sounders this weekend. Quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com for information. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT, bilingual. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, you might work in a plant, construction, refinery, you may drive an 18-wheeler. If you do and you have a problem, the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm at 713-322-HURT. Perfect opportunity to bring on not only a great young man, but 50-plus goals here in Houston. He did it in a short amount of time. He has moved on to the Seattle Sounders. You know him well here in Houston. He's Will Bruin. Will, thank you very much for coming on the show, and how are you, Will?
No problem. Thanks for having me, Glenn. Always a good time. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. And you know, let's. I don't want to go back too much, but I do want to just kind of get your impressions of when the trade occurred and what that means to a professional athlete, because, you know, you got a wife, you got to relocate. Talk a little bit about how that all came down.
Yeah, exactly. It was about a few days before Christmas. I was with my wife visiting her family in Indiana. And, you know, I mean, I got a call from Matt. And, you know, when the boss man calls you, it's one of two things. And we kind of had a feeling that, you know, something was going to happen this offseason. I think it was kind of good for both parties. It obviously doesn't take anything away from what Houston and I had together and what we accomplished in our 6 years there. But, you know, I think it was just time to kind of re-challenge myself as a professional. And like you said, picking up and moving real far north compared to Houston was definitely been a lot of hotel living, but we're finally getting settled, and that's good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And you got a lovely wife. You got a great little dog as well. So let me just ask you, from the playing perspective here, as the player now, what has the change done for you positively?
Yeah, it's definitely been, you know, it kind of gets you back on your toes. Because sometimes, just like in everyday life or every type of job, you get comfortable in your routine, going through the things. And I think kind of just an uproot, kind of pick up and move and go to a fresh environment, a new place, kind of have to reestablish yourself as a player with new teammates, earn their respect is something that, you know, it gets those juices flowing again. You get excited to go out and train. You get excited for kind of proving yourself again. And that's something that's been a lot of fun this preseason up here so far in Seattle.
Former Dynamo striker, now with the Seattle Sounders, Will Bruin. He goes to, you know, we're going to call this the number one MLS soccer market in the United States. It's unbelievable the attention that team gets there. And I know you've had a lot of attention since you've come there. Just kind of talk about the culture there, the fan base, how driven it is, and how exciting it has to be for you as a player, because you're going to be playing in front of 40, 50,000 people pretty regularly.
Yeah, it's super exciting. You know, everybody I've talked to, they keep saying, just wait till you score your first goal in front of the Seattle fans at CenturyLink. It's a feeling like unlike any other. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, it's been a great market. It's a great city in general. And, you know, from the outside looking in at Seattle, you would think it's completely different from all the hype they get and all the support they get. But, you know, it's just like any other club. You know, their media PR team here up here in Seattle is great at handling stuff. And it's, at the end of the day, you're still here to do a job and perform. And, you know, it's just a little different market.
What's it like stepping into a team? Because this is unique. You're stepping into a team that won an MLS Cup.
Yeah. They're coming off a big year, and that's been a lot of this kind of, a lot of those guys haven't really had much of an off season because it was the MLS Cup champions, and then obviously bringing the trophy around the city and seeing the sport and the number of people come out in droves is gets me really excited. But you know, this is this team is has a lot of quality coming back and adding a lot of quality. It's going to be a very competitive team.
In some ways, maybe this is good for you. There has been a lot of turnover. I mean, Seattle's not sitting on their laurels. Number of changes,
no.
Just like the Dynamo, and you're one of them. You're going to be counted on. They've coveted you. They've brought you in. Does that make it a little easier, the transition, knowing that, you know, you're not one of two guys coming into a team that won an MLS Cup? You're one of a number of guys that are coming into Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, kind of they came out and pursued me. That's something that makes it a little easier coming in, knowing that you're wanted. It's always good to know you're wanted in any aspect of life or work or whatever. So that definitely helps. But like you said, the core amount of guys are returning, which gives you a good base going forward. But like you said, there's a lot of guys, new guys coming in. And that's definitely helped the transition because, you know, a lot of guys are coming from all different places and they're kind of trying to settle in and mesh with the group. And I think that's definitely helped solidify kind of our locker room.
Will Bruhn joining us. Brian Schmetzer, talk about him as a coach, because what a story it is with him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He sees the game very well, a lot of tactics, and, you know, he's a fun coach to play for so far, a lot of banter, but also when it's serious, it's serious. And I'm liking it so far, and he's a very approachable guy, very good, easy guy to talk to, so that makes it a lot easier as players. But you know, we'll see a lot more when the season gets going, because preseason and regular season are two different beasts.
Now, Jordan Morris, you know what? There's some similar characteristics between you and Jordan. I think you guys are both incredibly humble guys, which
yeah.
I think is an incredibly positive thing for a professional athlete like yourselves. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're competing for playing time with last year's MLS Rookie of the Year, and what's it like kind of knocking it around with Jordan Morris and the Clint Dempseys and those guys?
Yeah, Jordan's a great guy. Just interacting with him, and obviously he was at camp for a little bit of our preseason, but getting to know him since he's been back, he's, like you said, very humble, very down-to-earth, very real person, and I think that's a great quality to have. And, you know, playing with Clint, it's Clint Dempsey. It's, you know, the face of U.S. soccer for many, many years. And he's one of those players that when he says something, obviously everybody listens. And he's just a threat to have on the field at any time, no matter what.
Would you say Clint's the leader of the team? Who would you say is the leader? Is it Alonso? Is it Clint? I mean, it's because it's such an interesting group of guys because there's so many differing personalities.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I think it's a mesh of guys. I don't think there's one individual leader that's going to say, like, hey, everybody listen to me. I think it's collective. Some of the senior guys, like the Clint, Ozzy, Nico, being a new guy, he also obviously has a voice, Roman and Chad in the back, and then Stefan Goley. There's a lot of guys who have been around, and, you know, a lot of good professionals on this team. It's kind of hard to just pick one guy and say, hey, you're the captain. So I think having that collective leadership from a handful of guys really helped.
Now, I know preseason's been different for you guys, and these are two teams at two different spectrums in MLS. You know, the Dynamo trying to mm-hmm. become relevant again here. You're on the defending MLS Cup champions. I sense that, you know, There's a lot of momentum leading up to this game for Houston on the weekend, whereas in the case of you guys, you know, last year's MLS Cup champions, you know, you might be looking out a little bit more than worrying about making such a huge impact on game one in MLS. Is that fair to say, or am I off base here?
No, I think it's definitely fair to say. I think you've seen this league and how it works. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Seattle's a perfect example of that last year. But, you know, anytime you step on the field, you obviously want to win. But like you said, the first game, obviously it's first game of the year, a lot of hype around it. You want to perform well. But from the first game to game 34, there's going to be a lot of things that happen in between then. So it's good to put it into perspective. But the competitiveness, anybody, they want to win when they're on the field. So 3 points is the most important thing.
He's Will Bruhn, 50 regular season goals for the Houston Dynamo, I think in 6 seasons, if I'm correct, Will.
And yeah, I think you had another six in playoffs, right? Because I know goal scorers don't forget their goals. You had another six in the playoffs.
No.
Is that right? 56?
Yep.
See, I'm on. Correct. See, I guess I'm in. Yeah. I'm in form. I'm ready for Saturday.
You're in
mid-season
form right now. Glenn.
I better pull it back a little bit because you don't want to go over the top on opening day.
There you go.
But that's an incredible goal scoring record when you think about it. You did 50 in 6 years. That is a pretty darn good success rate. And I would also say, in fairness to you and whoever played as a lone striker, and this is not taking a shot at anybody, but you guys were not set up to succeed the last, I think, 2 years. And I'm being honest here.
Yeah. I honestly would like to say that number's more in 5 years, because kind of last year.
Right.
Is a year that me personally, and I know a lot of guys, just want to forget about. That was not a good year. It was probably my lowest as a professional. So I like to discount those. I'll take those 4 goals from last year and throw them away, and we can even say 46 in 5 years. But even though it doesn't sound like 50, we can still say that, because the ratio would be better.
Yep.
But that last year is last year.
But look, in a lone striker system, if you don't have guys penetrating and getting behind outside backs and pulling center backs off you, you're doomed, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And if you can get your outside backs going high, then that helps a little bit. But, if they're just looking to play the ball into the number nine and say, here, hold it, battle both center backs, hold this and keep possession for us, it's going to be a long 90 minutes.
Yeah, can you imagine having to do that against the likes of Chad Marshall and Roman Torres, right? You know what that's like. I know you know.
Oh, yeah. I did it last year towards the end of the year.
I know.
They're two big boys.
They are. So that's great catching up with you, Will. Hey, let me just give you a platform, because we never got to talk before. Anything you want to say to the Dynamo fans? Because there are a ton of people down here who appreciate your efforts, and I certainly appreciated how you always dealt with me, win or lose, in the media. You're a stand-up guy, and I can only wish you the best of success. But what do you want to say to the Dynamo fans?
Thank you, guys. These first 6 years of my professional career, I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else than Houston, even through the highs and the lows. That's kind of what makes your relationship with the club and a city kind of a lot more compact, because you have good times, but you have bad times, and it's how you come out of those bad times that kind of define you. And Houston fans are always supportive of me, for the most part. We'll leave it at that. But they were great, and I think it was a great part of my career, and I hope they could enjoy what we were able to do, and I wish them all the best.
Will, thank you very much for coming on. I wish you all the best as well up in Seattle. I know you're going to be banging some goals in. I'm sure Dynamo fans don't want you to do it this weekend, but I think we're going to be glad that you're back in Houston. And once again, thanks for being such a great professional here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Always good to talk to you.
All right, that's the one and only Will Bruin. What a great young man he is. And now with the Seattle Sounders in town to take on the Dynamo this weekend on Cube 57. 7 o'clock is a pregame. You join Eddie Robinson and I for that. Also, 10 o'clock on Friday night, a show called the Dynamo Dash Zone, also on Cube 57. For Tyler Scott, we'll see you again next Wednesday. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're out.
This is Corey Brewer, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.